I'm in Maui right now.
That's not so bad compared to what we've got here in Maine.
I'll bet. Must be like, what, 14 feet deep in snow?
It feels that way, yeah. We had a stretch of about 2 weeks of just absolutely brutal weather, but yeah, it's going to warm up to 40 later this week. So that's, for us, that's like Maui.
That's, you know what? I really feel sorry for you. Could you pass the suntan lotion?
Oh, you're killing me. You're killing me. Well, hey, we're so excited to have your show on our sister station, WKIT. Nights with Alice Cooper is such a fun show. First of all, great music. You have such an encyclopedic knowledge of music. How do you go about picking the songs that you play?
You know, it's one of those things where I understand that there are certain songs that, you know, that are kind of like the 40 or 50 greatest FM songs, you know, that you play. But I don't want for people to forget bands like Paul Butterfield or the Yardbirds or the Hollies or the Who or Them, you know, bands that that don't get in that top echelon. And I grew up with all these bands. So I know it's almost like you could say any band and I'll tell you a great story about them. Because, you know, we've been on the road for 50 years, so you kind of know everybody. And it's just, you know, it's fun to talk about them. And it's so funny that certain guys and bands, I might be making fun of them. And you would think that they'd be mad at me. And they get mad if I don't make fun of them. Actually get mad if they say, hey, you quit making fun of us. What happened?
Well, that's one of the great things about the show, the stories that you tell. I mean, we've said often here in the station, Alice Cooper has got to know everybody in the history of the music business.
Well, I pretty much, you know, I mean, from the Beatles to the Sex Pistols, you know, I mean, it's sort of like you have a relationship. When you're in a rock band, you are in a fraternity with every rocker there, and you've either met them at award shows or at festivals or, on, you know, at O'Hare Airport or whatever. But you do have a relationship with almost every single band.
The newest album, Paranormal, is in so many ways a classic Alice Cooper sound to it, but he also got some impressive folks together with you, some of the old band members, some great guests, and also reunited with Bob Ezrin.
Bob and I, you know, Bob is sort of my George Martin. He's always been the guy that I've worked with, and even when I'm doing an album that he's not producing, I will call him up and I'll say, I've got five songs here. Let me send them to you. And he'll listen to them and send back notes, you know, saying this bridge isn't strong enough. Why are you going to G here? Well, let's go to another one. You know, and he is sort of my guru when it comes to that. But I've done 13 or 14 albums with him. So, you know, I plan on working with Bob as much as I possibly can.
So excited for what's coming up on Easter Sunday on NBC. Jesus Christ Superstar live with, my gosh, what a cast, John Legend, Sarah Bareilles, and you as King Herod. How did this whole project come to you?
You know, I actually did the King Herod song on the original soundtrack. Tim Rice is a very good friend of mine, and the guy that did it before, he says, I want to replace that one. He says, will you do the Herod song? And I said, how do you want me to do it? And he says, well, I want Herod to be arrogant, and I want him to be creepy, and I want him to be kind. I said, okay, I can do that. So I did the song on the album, and then when it came up that they were going to do it on stage, you know, Tim said, Alice Cooper, got to play Herod. So it's fun. You know, learning the song is something now. I'm all day, you know, half an hour a day I sit and sing the song just to get it down. I don't know what the direction is going to be in it, but it'll be fun to do.
By the way, I absolutely love the documentary that you were such a big part of on your longtime manager, Shep Gordon. He's got to be one of the most interesting people you've come across in the music business.
I'm actually staying at his house right now in Maui, and we've been together 48 years and still have no contract with each other. You know, Shep is the guy, he's the ultimate manager. He's the manager that everybody wants. You know, anytime you can get a manager that you don't need a contract with because you know he's going to be honest with you, that's the guy that everybody's looking for. So we have a very different relationship than anybody else in this business. Nobody has that. 48 years with the same guy.
We're talking with Alice Cooper here on Downtown. I saw an interesting interview with you not too long ago, talking about your friendship with Glenn Campbell. Now, that for some people might seem like an incongruous match, an odd couple of sorts, but you guys had an awful lot in common.
We did. We, you know, honestly, we both lived in Phoenix. Of course, I knew Glenn Campbell of, you know, from a lot of different aspects. We both played golf, and he was a very good player. We were both about equal when it came to, you know, our golf. We were both like 4 handicaps, and we played a lot of golf together. But Glenn was really one of those guys that could do everything. He was just one of those, you know, you put a guitar in his hands, the guy could play anything. He could play anything that my guitar players could play. He could play anything that, you know, you just name it, and he could do it. In fact, I had Eddie Van Halen one time call me up and says, can you get me a guitar lesson with Glenn? That's how well thought of Glenn Campbell was in the business. And, our wives were great friends. Our kids were friends, you know. I even went to a Seder, a country western Seder in his house.
Well, I'm trying to picture
that. Neither one of us are Jewish, you know, but it was like very, very unique.
We had Bryan Cranston on our show not too long ago, and he was talking about the fact that having stability in his personal life is what's enabled him to be absolutely crazy in his professional life and in roles. And I wonder, you know, as your life has settled down a little bit on the home front, and you take good care of yourself, you're in great shape. Does the same thing apply to you, that having that stability make it possible for you to go out and do the same things on stage that you were doing 40 years ago?
Oh, absolutely. And Bryan Cranston is one of my favorite people in the world. He is truly insane, and one of the greatest actors. I mean, the guy, he's got a very strange sense of humor, though. I don't know if you saw that thing he did on Sweet 60, his birthday party.
I did see that. It was great.
One of the funniest things I've seen ever. But anyways, the stability is really the bottom line on everything. When I was, you know, in my 20s, I was hanging out with Jim Morrison and Jimi Hendrix and Keith Moon and those guys. And yeah, the fact of getting to 30 would have been an accomplishment. You know, a lot of those guys didn't. They got to 27 and, you know, just burned out. I met the right girl at the right time. And the Welcome to My Nightmare show, Cheryl, my wife Cheryl, was 18 years old. She was the ballerina in the Welcome to My Nightmare show. And we got married the next year, and we've been married now 41 years. And the stability there is right. I've never cheated on her. She's, you know, our dads were both pastors. We're both Christian. You know, we go to church together and everything like that. Our kids are great. You know, we never had rock star kids that were in trouble. These kids were, like, very respectful, even though insane. Calico, my daughter, is an improv comedian. But never had a problem with drugs or alcohol or getting pregnant or anything like that. You know, never got arrested for anything, but totally insane. My son Dash has got his own band called Co-op, who are really good. These guys are really good. And he's got twin sons, Falcon and Riot, who are my grandsons now, 3 years old. And then my youngest daughter, Sonora, is a makeup artist. And, you know, she can do everything from The Walking Dead to Vogue magazine. So it's the most happy family you've ever seen. You know, we don't have a lot of stress in our relationships at all. And I'm doing what I get to do. I get to write songs, perform songs, and I get to play this character, Alice Cooper, that is really fun to play. And doing the radio show is just, for me, is just like, I don't look at it as work at all. I look at it just as fun to do, you know?
Well, and what's great about that, too, is with technology today, you're able to do that from all over the world. I know when you were on your European tour, you were doing the show from there, now out in Maui. And that's got to make it not just easier, but fun, and give you more stories to tell along the way.
Well, yeah. And also, I mean, I give the credit. I'm not a big technology guy. You know, I'm more analog than anything else. But at the same time, it allows me, if you have Pro Tools, you can do the radio show from an airport. You can do it from a tour bus. You can do it from anywhere. And my show goes out to almost 200 stations around the world. I mean, we're on in Budapest. We're on in you know, the strangest places in the world, you know, and yeah, I tape the show, and it takes, you know, I tape it 10 days in advance, and that way everybody gets covered. But I mean, to me, again, I've been on 14 years now, and I never get bored doing the radio show.
You're a guy that so many people look up to now. You're a role model for a lot of people in the music business. And you hear people, critics sometimes and others, who say, rock is dead. What's your view on the status of rock music today, some 60 years or so into this genre?
You know, I don't think rock will ever be dead. I really don't. I think there's kids right now in a garage learning AC/DC and Guns N' Roses and Alice Cooper and Aerosmith. And I don't think rock will ever die because it's just too primal. And it's too much fun. I think you're going to see, I'm going to do a prediction right now, you're going to see a resurgence of the 80s hair bands, you know, because that era was too much fun. The Bon Jovis, the Guns N' Roses, those bands. You'll see, and it's going to be what I would call a revolution and a total rebellion against high-tech. Right now, vinyl is selling more than it's ever sold. Every year, vinyl goes up, like 71% or something like that. That means that kids are now tired of buying air. They're tired of streaming. They want to actually open an album, put it on a turntable, and put the needle down and listen to it and look at who wrote what and who played what. And I think as far as the state of it, as long as there's the Foo Fighters, as long as there's bands like Green Day, as long as there's bands like Black Keys, there's a band in Ireland called The Stripes that I love, and The Strokes are great, and, you know, The Struts, another good band. Alice Cooper, Aerosmith, we're always going to play hard rock. I mean, that's just the way it is. I think hard rock's going to be pretty healthy.
What keeps it fun and keeps it fresh for you?
I never grew up out of it. I never, ever got tired of rock and roll. I never got tired of being Alice. I never got tired of getting on stage and doing a show and seeing the audience react to it. You know, I think you can't get tired of it. After 50 years, I get on stage now with probably the best touring band I've ever had and just rock the place. I think the people are now shocked more by the energy than they are than the theatrics. You know, and I realize that people come now to hear the music. They come to hear those songs, all those hits. And at the same time, they get the theatrics with it, and they get Alice, and they get the show. So what I've noticed is around the world is the first 50 rows are 15 to 25 years old.
And
they know every lyric. You know, I mean, that's great to get out there on the road and see, you know, 15,000 people there that know all the songs.
Well, Alice, we love the radio show. The new album is phenomenal. So great to have you still out there making music, and we really appreciate you making time for us here on the program.
Oh, thanks a lot. And, you know, my buddy Stephen King is there, you know, so he's still writing the best stuff. Did you see It?
Yeah, I mean, talk about another guy who's at the top of his game after all these years, much like you.
Oh, my gosh. His books, though, are like 5 inches thick. You know, if you're going to pick up a Stephen King book, you've got to, you know, decide, well, I've got 4 months in jail, so I might as well just read this.
Alice.